We'll begin our reading in verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can find one in front of you so you can follow along with the message this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful grace in our life. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we can gather together on the Lord's Day to worship your name through song, Lord, to be ministered to by music, and Lord, to look at your word and to grow and to learn. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray you would bind Satan and his demons, that your word would fall on good ground, that it would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. May you be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask a question this morning, and it is a personal question, and you need to answer this question in your own heart. What is God teaching you today? What is God teaching you today? What is the light that God has given you so that you can be a stronger believer in this world. Now, these are direct questions, but we need direct answers. And you should have in your Christian life truth, light, that has been given to you through the Word of God to help you to advance spiritually in your quest for Christ-likeness. And that is the destination for all of us as Christians this morning, is to be nearer to the Lord and to be like him. Now you say, Pastor Burns, I'm here this morning and I don't have any light. I don't have any truth that God is working in my life about. Well, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Hold your place in 2 Peter. And look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse number 6, if we could. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says this, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God unto the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The Bible says if we want to receive light, then first of all, we have to be a Christian. It begins with being born again, to arise from the dead, to have a spiritual birth. And then the Bible says that we are to walk circumspectly, not as a foolish man, but as a wise man, and redeem the time because the days are evil. You see, if God has not given to you a present truth, then the Bible says you need to wake up and God will give you light. It's kind of like a child who says to their mother, "Where's my toy?" And the mother says, "Well, it's where you left it." And the child says, "Well, it's not there." And the mother says, "Well, did you look for it?" And the child says, "No." And the mother says, "Well, then go look for it." And this is what God is telling Christians. God is saying in this passage of Scripture that we need to read our Bible. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to seek the face of God. We need to allow God to direct us. We need to wake up spiritually and hear the voice of God. And God will give us truth. God will give us light so that we can be established and grow in that truth. And this is what Peter is writing to these believers. Peter is saying, "Listen, I don't know how long I have on this earth, but God has given me this purpose to stir within you the truth in which God is working in your heart about. God has given you a present truth, and God wants you to be established in that present truth." And I don't know what that present truth is in your life. It's different for each of us as believers. But I hope today that I can stir up that present truth in your life so that you'll walk in the light that God has given to you. Let me give you some thoughts about this present truth. First of all, number one, if you're taking notes this morning, would you write down, the present truth takes action. The present truth takes action. Verse 12 of our text, the Bible says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." What Peter had reminded them of was what they had already knew. Peter was saying, "Listen, you already know these things, but I'm stirring them up in your heart. The Spirit of God is at work in your life. And these things, though you already heard it, maybe you've heard a sermon on it, maybe you've read it in your Bible time and time again, you already know these things, but you're not established in these things. You're not obeying these things. You're not doing these things." And so Peter says, the Spirit of God is going to tell you again. He's going to stir them up in your heart again. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible teaches us that they had been given light. But here's the problem. They weren't walking in the light. They weren't obeying God. The Spirit of God was instructing them. The Spirit of God was teaching them. But they were not following these truths to success. They were not established in these things. And so the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 in our text here in verse number 5, here Peter is direct. And Peter says, listen, you need to take action on your Christian life. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, you're saved by grace. You have a wonderful relationship in God. You know the Lord. But you got to make the best of what God has given to you and walk in the light. Maybe you've heard someone who visited a particular city or a particular country that they'd never been before. Maybe this is speaking about you. And when they go and visit that country or they visit that city, they make a statement like this. Well, we're going to make the best of our visit. Maybe you've said that. We're going to make the best of our visit. And we're going to do everything that we can and learn about this city or learn about this province or learn about this territory. And we're gonna do everything. I mean, we're gonna make the best of our visit. And then you come home from your vacation, and you need a vacation from your vacation, right? But I mean, you're just gonna invest everything in that visit. And this is what God is saying about the Christian life: invest everything. He's saying in this passage of Scripture, take the right steps in the right direction to be Christ-like, to grow. To grow. He's saying, listen, be a Christian on purpose. Be a Christian on purpose. Paul the Apostle said this to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, a lot of people will take this and they'll throw it out of context and they'll say, well, the Bible is saying you need to work for your salvation, but that's not what the Bible is teaching here. The Bible is saying here that it is God which works in you, and you need to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you, and you need to walk in the light, you need to obey, you need to seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus said, knock on the door. Jesus said that we are to seek the Lord, and so the Bible says that we are to make the very best out of our Christian life and follow and seek God with all of our heart, with all of our heart, because the Bible teaches us that we can resist the Spirit. And we can bring sorrow to the heart of God if we reject the present truth that God is teaching us today. Let me give you some practical thoughts here about acting upon the present truth. First of all, it must be personal. It must be personal. The reality is that all of us as Christians have a present truth, but your present truth is not the same as my present truth. God is working in our lives as individuals, and the Spirit of God is convicting our heart. And you may get absolutely nothing from this message this morning but one particular thing, and I want to suggest to you that that is your present truth. That's what God is dealing in your heart about. And God wants you to walk in that light so he can give you more light. That's how walking in the light works. God gives you light, you take a step in the light, and God gives you more light, you take a step in that light. That's spiritual growth. But maybe you're hindered because God has given you a present truth, but you refuse to take those steps of obedience. It must be personal, but also it must be purposeful. We need to take purposeful steps in the working of God. We need to say yes to the Spirit of God. We need to seek the Savior's working in our life. We need to ask God to help us to move forward. The reality is it has to be personal, it has to be purposeful, but also it has to be predominant. It has to be something that is important in your life. You have to say, listen, I want to follow God. I want to walk in the light. I want to be godly. I want to be Christ-like. This is important to me. Because if it's not important to you, you're not going to do it. Something else will take its place. You see, the present truth. Number two, would you write it down? The present truth takes ambition. It takes ambition. The present truth not only takes action, it takes ambition. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet. As long as I am in this tabernacle, Peter said, this is important. I think that this is essential. This is important. As long as I am in this tabernacle, or as long as I'm alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. We need to be stirred up today in our desire to be Christ-like. I hope we're not complacent today. I hope that we don't have the attitude in our hearts that we're just fine, that we're okay. There are Christians that are far worse than me. I'm fine where I am. I hope that we are desiring to grow in our spiritual life, in our family life, in our ministry, in the areas in which Christ is working. I hope we don't use excuses as exits to not take another step in the light that God has given to us. You hear some people will say something like this, well, this is just who I am. You're just going to have to accept this is just who I am. This is just what I do. But I'm here to tell you that God is greater than even our personality. And God can help us to overcome that if we're willing to seek him first. Whether today it's a besetting sin, or maybe it's just a weight that is weighing us down in our race that's set before us, I'm convinced today that God can give you the grace and victory to overcome it and to take another step forward. But maybe you're convinced today that you're just okay. That you're just okay. You know, the reality is that we need to be encouraged to move forward. We naturally become discouraged. We are naturally lazy. We are naturally complacent. If left to ourselves, that's kind of where we default. The hymn writer said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We naturally will follow the easiest pathway for our life. And if this is left untreated, then we easily slide into an indifferent attitude. We plateau in our Christian life. We no longer take any more steps forward. This is where we are. This is as good as it gets. Story told. But this is not a Christ-like attitude. We have no ambition to do anything for the Lord. No ambition to step out by faith and to do something new. No excitement about Bible ministry. No excitement about learning. No excitement about growing in our Christian life. We become complacent. And Peter said, I'm going to stir you up. So you'll take another step. So you'll keep moving forward. You know, corporate companies spend millions of dollars every year to try to stir people up. Probably one of their highest expenditures on their budget sheet is conferences and various programs to stir people up, to remind them of their policies and principles, to get them excited about business and to get them excited about the company. And this is what Peter is saying. He's saying, listen, I just want you to get excited about God. I just want you to get excited about growing. I just want you to get excited about what God is doing in your life. The reality is you can't help others if you don't help yourself. It's hard to be an encouragement to other Christians if you are complacent in your own Christian life. Your nearness to God helps you in every area of your life. You say, well, yeah, I understand the Christ-likeness thing, but that only really affects my life in church. Wrong. It affects every area of your life. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The reality is your spiritual walk with God, it impacts you daily. It impacts your family life. It impacts your business life. It impacts your relationship with your children and your relationship with your spouse. It impacts every area of your life. If I want to be the husband that I need to be, then friend, listen to me. I need to be the Christian that I need to be. I need to be right with God, because a right relationship with God, it rights all relationships. If I want to be the right kind of friend, then I need to be the right kind of Christian. And this is why Peter is trying to stir them up. This impacts every area of your life. Every area of your life. Maybe you've heard of the expression revival. And we throw that word around a lot in Christian circles, revival, to be revived. And to be revived, a revival is just a rekindling. The idea of making a new fire or stirring up a flame that has gone cold so that it ignites and lights again. And God wants us, this is what Peter is saying. He's saying, I want to revive you. I want to stir you up. You've heard the message over and over again. You know what God's doing in your heart. This is not rocket science. This is nothing new. You've heard sermons all your life about this. But here's the problem. The problem is you're not doing it. The problem is you're not walking in it. And he says, God has given me this mission before I die to stir you up. And I'm going to give the present truth one more time so that you'll walk in that truth and you'll be obedient to God, that you'll walk with the Lord, and that you'll seek his face. And so we see the ambition here, the ambition to please God. I want us to notice, thirdly, the present truth takes assessment. It takes assessment. The Bible says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease or my death to have these things, look at this, always in remembrance. Peter said, long after I'm gone, he said, it's my desire that you'll keep growing as a Christian. Because the Christian life is bigger than a church or one man. It's about your relationship with God. And here he says, listen, I want you to put your walk with God in remembrance daily. I want you to be honest. I want you to assess where you are with God. I want you to be honest with God today. Are there areas for you to grow? Are there things in your life that God is working on, but you refuse to take a step? You know, the Christian life is like driving a car. You drive a car, and you're heading on the road, and what are you doing? You're constantly making adjustments, right? You don't make adjustments, you'll end up in the ditch. And so you're constantly making small adjustments. And so This is like the Christian life. We're running a race, and God is at work in our life, and we come to church, we hear the Bible, we read the Bible, we pray and spend time with God each day alone, and the Spirit of God works in our life and gives us light. And what are we doing? We're making small adjustments along the way. We're keeping on the narrow way. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we have to make turns. We have to make decisions. And sometimes they're hard decisions. And other times they just make sense. But at the reality is we keep on making these adjustments, saying yes to things and no to other things. And this is the heart of the psalmist when he said in Psalm 139, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." God, reveal to me in my heart the direction I'm going and the adjustments I need to make in my life so I can keep following the way everlasting. It is really a prayer of an assessed heart. Lord, search my heart. And God, help us today. God, help us today to have that prayer in our life. God, help us today for that to be our prayer, that we would constantly, every day, make those assessments and look at our life, and we would make decisions based upon Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. What is the present truth that God is working in your life right now? I have no idea what God is doing in your heart. Only you know. Only you know. And I hope today that as we stand here in, you know, over halfway through January in a new year, I hope that we're not complacent to what God is doing. I hope church is not just something we do because that's what you're supposed to do, but I hope that you will be stirred up in your walk with God to make it a priority in your life to walk in the light that God has revealed to you, and that you would take steps today in being nearer to the Lord. The Bible says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You take a step toward the Lord today, and He'll take a bigger step toward you. But it's going to take that step, that decision, that you'll have to make. If you're not a Christian today, I believe God brought you here to be saved. And the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners, we're separated from God, and Jesus died for us and as us so that we could have eternal life. And today, if you put your faith and trust in Him and call upon His name, He'll save you today. He'll make you a part of His family and give you life eternal. And you can walk in that truth and that light that He provides. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have